Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Please leave your Bibles open there. Thanks so much for reading, Kessia. Always so bubbly. Kessia, she's a great person if you haven't met her. As I look around, it's great to see some faces I remember and some faces I haven't seen before. So thanks for having me. Hopefully it's not too painful an experience for you. But it is a great time of year, isn't it? It's cold. I'm not sweating. That's amazing, to be honest with you. Queensland won during the week, and the Broncos have won 7 times. And the Cowboys, how many times are you? Yes, it's a good time, isn't it? On the 2nd of July, the Cowboys are playing the Broncos at 5:30. I'm going. I might see you there. Anyway, let's not get distracted with the one thing that matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Thank you for the gift that it is. Father, today, as we open it up, help us to be reminded of the one true gospel. Help us to be reminded that we're only saved by Jesus, by his death and resurrection, and believing in that and nothing else. Father, help us to know that. Help us to believe that. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, recently, my oldest son, Henry, has been playing lots of soccer, and his school team, Kerwin State High School, they've won the best team in Townsville. They've beaten all the other schools, and recently they had to travel to the Burdekin to play a team down there. That they won that as well. They're off to Bowen tomorrow. But when they were getting ready to go to the Burdekin, we had to kind of the permission form thing, and Deb would normally take care of all that. She would organise the permission form. She would make the payment. But because we had an unexpected trip to the Sunshine Coast for my dad, early one morning I was working on my computer and I thought, you know what? I'll be helpful. And so I signed the form electronically and I paid for the excursion online, and I was gloating to Deb. I was saying, I'm a pretty good husband. Look what I did. And my wife, she's a lovely lady. She was very polite and kind to me. And then she kindly informed me that she'd already taken care of the issue. She'd already signed the form and already made a payment. And so now we'd paid twice. There was no need for me to do that. I was thinking, I was being helpful. If I'm honest, like all husbands, I was looking for a little bit of praise. I wanted to be a good boy. But I kind of failed in that. And now Deb has to fill in this complicated form to cover up for the double payment to make sure we get the money back. And I haven't volunteered to do that, and I won't be. Just, it wouldn't be helpful, I don't think. Anyway, you might be sitting there thinking, what's that got to do with anything? That's a good question. But the idea of a double payment goes to the heart of the issue in the letter or book of Galatians. See, the Galatians, they've heard the message of the gospel from Paul. They've heard the good news about Jesus dying and rising again to restore their relationship with God. They've believed in that. But it seems like some people have been following Paul around, telling his kind of freshly planted churches that you can't be part of God's people just by believing in Jesus. You also need to get the chop, circumcision that is, and you also need to follow other Old Testament rules and laws. You need Jesus, but you also need to make some of your own payment if you're going to be in God's family. The trouble is, Paul says, if you add to or change the gospel in any way, shape or form, you end up with no gospel at all. If you believe a false gospel, you are not saved. You are not right with God. You are facing God's judgment all by yourself. Friends, as we work through the letter to the Galatians, we're going to see we don't need a double payment. We don't need Jesus plus our efforts. All we need is Jesus. You just need Jesus. Well, please have your Bibles open there. Our first point this morning is a little look at Paul's greeting, a little look at Paul's hello. Well, pick it up with me from verse 1. There's something wrong with this thing. It's very lazy. Anyway, I've got to press hard. Bear with me as I do that. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Now, it's very clear from the get-go who the author of this letter is. It's the Apostle Paul. And if you've been around church for a while, you'll be familiar with the Apostle Paul. But this is most likely his first letter, written sometime around 48 AD. That's about 15 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Paul seems very quick to announce that he is an apostle. Now, apostle just means someone who is sent. If after the service there's no good coffee and you say, Simon, as a staff member, go and get me some coffee from across the road at Willow Shopping Centre, and if I go do that, I will be your apostle because you will have sent me to get you coffee. But Paul, he's not sent by some townsvillian to the shops. He isn't sent by a group of men or even one man. Paul is sent by Jesus and God. How can we know whether or not to listen to Paul, to trust his message? Well, he's directly sent by the Lord Jesus and by God the Father. Paul is saying, remember who I am. And that's something that we'll have to keep doing as we work through the book. But Paul, along with those with him, he's writing this letter to the churches in Galatia. Paul is writing to churches in what we would know as modern-day Turkey. And these guys, they're not Jews, they're Gentiles, they're non-Jews. Well, let's see what he has to say to them. Let's pick it up from verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul starts out with a normal greeting. It's like, grace and peace to you. But then in verse 4, he jumps in to remind the Galatians of what Jesus has done for them. He says that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. He's reminding them of the message that he passed on to them, that it's Jesus' death that actually pays for sin. It's Jesus' death that rescues us. Now, the bit that I find a little bit hard or confusing is the little phrase there, the present evil age. What does that mean? Paul doesn't normally talk like that. Well, from reading a couple of commentaries and kind of reading through the book a number of times, I think Paul is just saying that Jesus has rescued us from sin and death. He's rescued us from this broken world. See, by believing in Jesus, we're kind of dead to all that, and we've become a new creation. We are now God's children. Through Jesus, through his death, we're rescued from sin and death and this broken world. We're brought back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Well, Paul finishes this section by reminding the Galatians and us that this was God's plan and that we should praise God because of what he's done for us. Well, in Paul's greeting to the Galatians, he's reminded us of who he is. He's an apostle sent by Jesus and God. He's reminded us of his message that Jesus' death rescues us from sin and death. Paul has given us his greeting. He's given us his hello. Well, this week I was down south for 4 days at a training event. I'm kind of now in my second year of being a mentor. It's kind of you train other people, I guess. But the training is at a beautiful location. This is the view from the veranda. It's quite spectacular. It's at Lake Moogara. Moogara means place of storms or something like that. And it was really cold this year. One morning I went for a walk and there was frost on the ground either side of the road, and it was meant to be -2, but felt like -5. It was beautiful, to be honest. It was cold. I felt a love. You know, your skin feels kind of numb, but kind of weird, and you have a hot shower. That's a lovely feeling. Anyway, at the training, we were down there, lots of people there, and we kind of have to introduce ourselves, you know, because we haven't seen each other for a year. We've seen each other on Zoom, but whatever. But we've seen each other in the real, and I'm like, yep, my name is Simon. Some people call me Kevin. And then I kind of start to, you know, people can just kind of tell that I'm a bogan, right? They're all there, all from Brisbane. They're all wearing like fancy clothes. We're in this kind of camping place. Fancy clothes. I had my board shorts on, my t-shirt on, and my socks, and my sandals, and my beanie. Not sandals, like Birkenstocks, like classy sandals. But they can tell that I am a bogan. I'm okay with that. They actually asked me what I wore in towns when I said pretty much the same thing and kind of mocked me more. Anyway. We remind each other of who we are, but we also kind of talk about, you know, what we're on about, our message. You know, we're all Christians, we all believe in the gospel, but we all go about doing ministry in a different kind of way. In fact, this time we had to do our personality tests. I'm not sure if you've ever done that before. It's kind of a painful experience. I was speaking to someone during the week and said every time they do that, they cry. I don't cry, but we didn't do the Myers-Briggs one. It was this one new one called an Enneagram, and I'm a type 3, which means I'm a performer. It means if I don't get praise, I feel like I'm worthless. It's great to share that. Great to share that with you. But I just wanted to share that with everyone. It was kind of like, it was humbling. Anyway, we get to kind of share who we are. We share a bit of our message. We kind of say hello. We do a greeting. Well, Paul is reminding the Galatians of who he is and his message, what he's on about. He's reminding the Galatians of the gospel. Paul, he's an apostle sent from God, sent from Jesus, and that means that he is someone that we should listen to. What Paul writes ends up being scripture, the very words of God. Someone I was talking to a number of years ago, not at this church, in a pastoral situation, once told me not to listen to Paul, but to listen to Jesus. But can you do that? Can you ignore Paul and just listen to Jesus? Well, from what we've seen so far, it kind of seems impossible to do that, doesn't it? Because Paul is sent by Jesus. Paul is sent by God. We need to listen to him, and we need to listen to him as he warns the Galatians and us not to abandon the message of the true gospel. Well, we've seen Paul's greeting. We've seen his message. We're now about to hear about the problem that Paul has with the Galatians. Well, pick it up with me from verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Paul is astonished. He's saying, are you for real? Are you kidding me? Paul is in disbelief at what the Galatians are doing. They're deserting God and his gospel. They're not living in grace anymore. They're not relying on just Jesus to make them right with God. They're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. They've turned from the good news. And Paul tells us why the Galatians are bailing on the one true gospel halfway through verse 7. He says this: evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. It appears there were some people following Paul around and they were causing great dramas. They were saying, it's not just about Jesus. If you want to be saved and a part of God's people, you need Jesus, sure, but you also need the chop and you also need to follow other Old Testament rules. They were saying Jesus is not enough. Now, we don't really know why they were saying this. Maybe they doubted Paul's authority. We'll see a bit of that next week, and that they doubted his apostleship. Maybe they couldn't kind of get over their Jewishness. Maybe they wanted to avoid persecution. Maybe they were losing power and authority and they didn't like that. We don't really know what their motivation is. But they're causing confusion amongst God's people. In fact, they're not just causing confusion. They're actually promoting a gospel that is really no gospel at all. And Paul says that is very, very serious. Well, pick it up with me again from verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Paul is saying if we, maybe him and the apostles, or even an angel, he's kind of gone for the top of the line messenger, you know, Paul sent by God, an angel actually comes from God's presence. He's saying, if we do that, let us be under God's curse. Let us be under God's judgment. If we preach a gospel other than the true gospel, let us go to hell, is what Paul is saying. Because this is serious business. Preaching a false gospel means that people who believe in it, they will not be saved. A false gospel means that you'll face the judgment that you deserve all by yourself. False gospels are serious stuff. Now, while we're thinking about people preaching false gospels for a moment, you need to watch out. You need to watch out for Jason and Chris and myself and others who preach from up here. As we preach, have your Bibles open. Keep us accountable in a loving way. Don't assume that we are sinless and never get things wrong. That would be a very bad assumption to make. Listen well. Raise concerns with us. But do it lovingly. We're not robots. We have emotions. We're real people. So do it lovingly. Anyway, well, Paul finishes this section by saying this in verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, it's hard to know what's going on here in verse 10. It's kind of like, does this belong with next week's stuff or does it belong with this week's stuff? It's hard to know. But maybe because Paul is saying you just need Jesus, and remember he's talking to Gentiles, non-Jews, saying you just need Jesus, maybe the Jews are thinking, you're making it too easy. Like, too easy for these guys. You just want to please people so that they follow your message. Well, Paul's like, no. I am not trying to please people. I am trying to please God by what I'm doing. And in fact, if you want to please God, it's actually not that easy to do that. It's pretty hard. Well, Paul has reminded us that he's been sent by Jesus and God. He's reminded us of his message. And he reveals how amazed he is that the Galatians are so quickly deserting the one true gospel. He only told them the gospel about 1 to 2 years earlier, and now they're bailing out. He's lost for words. Later in Galatians, he'll call them fools. Well, I wonder if you have been astonished. I wonder if you have been lost for words. I wonder if you have been angry and frustrated about something recently. Well, I wonder if you have flown anywhere recently. Well, friends, COVID has made flying more painful than it ever was before. On my way down to Brisbane this week, my flight was cancelled and I had to get another flight 5 hours later, which meant I got to the training thing 9:30 at night on Monday. I missed roast chicken for dinner. It was kind of like it was. I had a Big Mac. It was terrible. Anyway, on the way home, everything was looking good. I was like, yes, I'm ready to go home. This is great. Then I kind of walked to my gate 28, and you know what? My flight is delayed by an hour. Then I get ready. I get up to stand up and go down gate 30 now. We're in a different gate now. And go down gate 30, and we're delayed. We haven't got enough staff. Like, what are you guys doing? Do you not know how to do this? Anyway, then we're kind of walking around again. And then we get in the plane, right? And then they say, you know what? Actually, someone checked in and their baggage is beneath the plane, but they're not on the plane. So we have to get their stuff off, in case it's a bomb or something. And so we're sitting there waiting along. I'm waiting some more. And then eventually we finally start moving. We're in the air. 20 minutes from home, the flight attendant very rudely interrupts me watching The Hustle by Adam Sandler, the new one. It's a pretty good movie, really. Watching it, I was grossly invested in it. Interrupts me, and then everyone on the flight, lights come on, everyone has to present their boarding pass and their ID just to make sure we're all legit. When we finally land, the guy beside me said, I thought they were trying to make sure that the right person was in their seat so that when we crashed, they would know whose body's who. And I was like, thank you very much for not telling me that until we'd landed, because that meant the rest of my flight was much more peaceful. The whole experience, it was astonishing, it was frustrating and painful. It makes me want to avoid flying, if I'm honest. Well, friends, Paul is astonished and upset about something much, much more serious than flight delays. The Galatians have heard the one true gospel, and now they're turning from it. This is serious business. If you believe in a false gospel, it means you ultimately will not be saved. And so how do we turn from false gospels? How do we make ourselves aware of them? Well, I want to finish by talking about two false gospels with you briefly, and then talk about how we can identify any false gospel. Well, the first false gospel I want to talk about is the gospel that says, it doesn't matter what you believe. Your truth is your truth. It's a gospel that basically says, if you're a good person, basically you'll get into heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe, you're a good bloke, you'll be there. Now, we've all probably come across this at some point in our lives. The challenge is, we all have people who are close to us who don't believe in Jesus, and they are good people. And so we kind of want this gospel to be true. But if we take Paul's words seriously, and we should, he's an apostle sent by Jesus and God, well then this good person, false gospel, it really doesn't save anyone. You actually need to believe in Jesus to be right with God. Well, the second false gospel I want to talk about this morning is the false gospel where it's like, yeah, trust in Jesus, plus you need to do this. And you can insert into the this whatever you want to insert in. It might be, yeah, believe in the gospel, plus you need to be a good person. It might be, yeah, believe in the gospel, but you need to go to Bible study as well. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to be baptized. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need a university degree. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to go to a Christian school. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to go to a public school. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to be homeschooled. You work it out. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to be a founding member of a church, maybe this church. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need a thorough knowledge of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the shorter catechism and the longer catechism. Yes, believe in the gospel, but you need to be middle class. Yes, believe in the gospel, but insert whatever. And the reality is we're all good at making up those false gospels. You know what? It actually comes to us as second nature. We love making up those things. But remember, at the start of the talk, we thought about a double payment. A double payment is useless. Friends, a false gospel is really no gospel at all. Well, we thought briefly about two false gospels, but how do we spot any false gospel from a mile away? Well, the answer is to know the one true gospel intimately. I used to have a lecturer at Bible College, and he would always say to us, do you know how they train people to identify counterfeit money? And every time he'd say, ask the question, we'd say no, just to kind of buy some time, really. No, we don't know how they do that, sir. Well, they train people to identify counterfeit money by only looking at the real thing. They only study the real thing. They know the real thing back to front so they can spot a counterfeit note from a mile away. Friends, if we want to spot false gospels from a mile away, we need to know the gospel intimately back to front. But we need to be careful with this. We're not saying it's believe in Jesus and know the gospel intimately. That would be a false gospel. We're not saying that. But friends, it is good. It is good to know the one true gospel so that we can spot false gospels. So it is good to know a gospel tract like Two Ways to Live. It is good to read your Bible and pray. What a great way to be reminded of the gospel. It is good to be part of a Bible study group and to learn from others. It is good to kind of study the Bible further, like those PTC units that Ruth runs. What a great way to be reminded of the gospel. Listening to good talks online, listening to good podcasts online, reading good Christian books, all of those things can remind you of the gospel. But be careful. There's a lot of rubbish out there. Friends, to be a part of God's people, to be saved, all we need is Jesus. You just need Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please remind us of the one true gospel. That's only believing in Jesus' death and resurrection that makes us right with you. Father, help us to hold on to that. Help us not to add anything to that. Father, help us to hold on to Jesus. Help us to know that we just need him. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.